It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Been deep into the Kyrie situation, traded from Brooklyn, not to the Lakers, but to the Dallas Mavericks. What does this mean for Luka and Mark Cuban and the Mavs? What does it mean for LeBron and AD and the Lakers? What does it mean for KD and Brooklyn and maybe the Warriors or Phoenix, as Key suggests?
Or LA next year. Don't forget us.
That's right. And what does it all mean for Kyrie? 888 say ESPN. But we have a fairly important game coming up in the NFL in a matter of days.
Mm-hmm.
And Will Shields, former Chiefs guard, a 12-time Pro Bowler.
Mm.
And you know me, Pro Bowl, whatever. I think I made a couple Pro Bowls.
All pro.
Seven-time all. You want to know about someone?
Seven-time.
But that ain't even it, though.
Pro Football Hall of Famer.
The fact of the matter is, this is the show of the offensive lineman. The greatest offensive lineman in the history of the league. Think about it.
Right.
Will Shields plays guard. We don't know yet if we want him to play left or right.
Right.
We're going to leave Anthony Munoz at left tackle. Mm. We're going to probably put Will at left guard. Mm-hmm. We're still looking for a center and a right guard. Our right tackle was a former teammate of Will Shields. In Willie Rofe, another big Hall of Fame. Think about that offensive line. Just think about it.
Jeff Saturday in at center, I guess.
And we can put Jeff Saturday in at center.
Think about what you just made mention, Key. That's why I don't play football. That's why I didn't play football.
My God, the offensive line on this show.
Mm-hmm.
Will Shields, how confident? First of all, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you guys doing?
Good, man. How you doing, Will?
I'm doing excellent. Can't complain 1 minute.
That's the other thing about offensive linemen. Look at Will in those glasses. He looks so intellectual. Offensive linemen are always the smart guys. Hey, Will, how confident do you feel about your Chiefs' chances right now?
You know, I get more confident every day. You know, the healthier they get, the better it is. The more I see the guys are practicing or getting back on the field, then it gives the confidence start building back up. As guys are sitting on the sideline, not as healthy as what you want to be, that makes a big difference. So, you know, as they get healthier, you get more confident. I think that's one piece about it. And the team feels, you know, feels the growth as each guy, you know, shows up on the field and they got another week to get as healthy as they can before they go into the game.
Will, when you look at Kansas City's offensive line, 2 years ago it was question marks. Obviously, after the Super Bowl, they went out, they made a couple trades, they signed a couple people in free agency, brought some guys over. What do you think of the offensive line makeup this season and the way Patrick Mahomes has been protected?
They've done a good job. I think they've kept him upright as best they could. You know, we still got our two young guys in the middle, so they're learning the game as they're going along. They had some bumps in the road as far as health-wise beginning of the season, a little bit in the middle. But I think that's going to be the key, is getting those guys, you know, ready to rock and roll and knowing that it's going to be a game all four quarters. It's not, you know, as usual, it's not going to be, you know, try to keep it to where it is, be close, make it happen. But I think they've done a good job of retooling the line, because I know the last Super Bowl we played, that was the injury-prone piece going into the Super Bowl. But this year, it's the strength of the team right now. Is the offensive and defensive lines playing well and making things happen, you know? And now, you know, we also have a young back that's hungry back there with Pacheco. And I think, to me, that's going to be, you know, a big key in the game, is how well those guys play.
When you just mentioned Young and Pacheco, young pieces on the roster, the offensive line, but then you look at the secondary for Kansas City and Spagnuolo calling the defense on that back end, very young back there, three young players in the secondary going up against A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts and Devontae Smith and company on the offensive side. What is it that they need to do to not put themselves in harm's way in that secondary up against these guys?
Well, I think keep everything in front of them. You know, that's one thing about it, because, you know, you can't let AJ get loose, because once he gets loose, it makes it tough to bring him down. But keep things in front of them, play the long game, you know, condense the field once you get into the red zone, make it happen so that, you know, you get more threes than sevens, and then let your offense do what they do. And I think that would be sort of the key of, you know, knowing when to make your plays, not necessarily having to always feel like you have to be the person to make the big play. Play within the system. Just don't give up the big play. And I think it'll be, you know, pretty good if they can do those things as being young rookies.
Pro football.
You know, last week they stepped up big, made some big plays together as a group, which, you know, turned the tide and made that game what it was at the end.
Pro Football Hall of Famer Will Shields joining us here. Shields on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Well, I do want to ask you, what have you seen from Jalen Hurts this year? And when you watch him, what feeling does it give you watching him as a former player?
You know, you see a quarterback that has poise and patience. You know, a guy that's taking what's there. You know, he's not over the top. He's not trying to, you know, make all these, you know, things happen. The game is coming to him really well. And that's one thing about it that makes you, you know, nervous when you see a quarterback that's just sort of calm under everything, under pressure. Even when he gets hurt, he still looks like he's okay. You know, he's that smooth. And I think that's one thing about it, is you have a quarterback that's confident in what he does and how he does, the whole team follows. And I think that's, you know, the big picture right now is that Jalen is, you know, he's so relaxed in doing what he's doing, and he's playing within the system, and the system's working well for him right now.
Will, let me ask you this question real quick, though. You obviously 12-time Pro Bowler, 7-time All-Pro and All-World offensive lineman. I played against you, with you in Pro Bowls, things of that nature. When you look at a guy like Jalen Hurts, though, how difficult would it have been to play with a quarterback like this at your job, not knowing if he's keeping the ball, pass protection? How difficult is that for an offensive lineman?
It's really hard, because you're trying to do both things in both worlds. You're trying to make a run block, but then not get all the way down the field, and you're trying to, you know, it's part of that pressure piece, you know. So the ball it's on the quarterback. You know, he has to get it out before you get down the field. But on the other hand, you just feel like you're sort of stuck in that zone of, okay, am I going to take two steps up, or am I going to take a little step back? Am I going to stay in between, or am I going to go down the field? And that's why I think you notice the difference when they get on the goal line. When they go straight run, you can tell the difference, because their whole line is moving people. The double teams are there. They're rocking and rolling, and they're pushing people into the end zone compared to when they are doing a lot of the RPO read and everything else. It's a little softer, and you're still trying to wait to make sure that you're not down the field. It does. It gives you a little bit of pause, a little hesitation, but I think in this day and age, you get used to taking the right footwork to get you where you are, and that makes a difference too, because that slows it down so that you're not down the field too far before the ball comes out.
Will Shields, part of the Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max all-time offensive line, right? I mean, the people who come on
this
show.
He's a starter. It's not even close.
First of all, you know how you make the Pro Football Hall of Fame? Try being a 7-time All-Pro player. That's Will Shields. Thanks for coming on the show today, Will.
All right, Will.
No problem, man. You guys have a good one.
Hey, think about that for a minute, though. 7-time All-Pro. Think about Will Shields and Willie Rofe on the same offensive line.
Come on, man.
What that look like?
With Munoz.
No, I'm talking about when they played together in Kansas City, though. Oh. Just those two big old, oh, man, that was ugly for people.
Gah. Good luck. Good luck.
Huge, Jay.
Oh, I see, yeah. Oh, trust me, you know I Google fingers, man. Damn.
Big old, ooh, he was big. God.
People are into, you know, why do we talk Kyrie so much? Kyrie, whatever you want to say about him, people, that kind of transcendent talent, whatever chaos is around it.
Box office.
It's box office because people understand you're not looking at a normal thing. You know, sports, as much as it's competition, is entertainment. And people, you have a million options to distract yourself. When your eyeballs are on Kyrie, that's a transcendent talent. And you know, it cuts through.
Before you say something, I'm all about players getting their money. And I get the history that has led Kyrie ultimately to that point where it's like, hey, that's the final slap in the face as it relates to a contract extension. The only thing, Key, that like you and I, Key, like brothers, right? Like on this show, like we ride or die. So at the end of the day, it's like, man, the fact that Kyrie was like, you know what, this is not working in the middle of the season. I get, like, that's the only thing that kind of, like, for Kevin Durant and that relationship is the only thing that makes it hard.
But, Jay, if you had to get your
money, but think
and,
about
and
it, though.
For some reason you had to bounce in the middle of something, but it was to get your money, everyone understands.
But you would have gotten your money anyway at the end of the season, right?
Yeah, but no,
you,
man.
You're
I
over
can't do
dealing
it,
with
Jay.
It. So
I love you,
I
Jay.
Hear you. I know
trade
you deadline
choice. Coming up.
I know you got the choice. I hear you.
Y'all giving me a 3-year deal, but it's really a 2-year bamboozle me. If I don't make it to the championship my first or second year, that third year is basically voided out.
Well,
I don't get my money.
That's the first thing I said, Key. But what if, Key, I was like, I'm just not signing anything, but finish the year out, I'm gone.
Yeah, but I can't.
You get that money right now. Well, I guess.
Why would I help? But Jay, why would I help you?
Well, that's where.
When I mean not you,
right.
I'm talking about the organization.
I hear
what
you.
The hell would I help you for and you don't want to pay me?
That's the hard part about it, because now you're separating. I don't want to help the organization, but this is my boy. Like, how do I not help my
you
boy,
You my
too?
Dude, but $150, I can't. Me and you, we're going to see each other later on, man. We're good.
We're
going to chop it up over
sneak
steak.
A Kyrie call in. Gary in Florida, go.
Hi, guys.
What's up, Gary?
I just want to tell you, I'm from Stuart, Florida. And I watch your show every morning at 6 o'clock.
Thank you. I drive
the trolley tram down in Stuart, Florida, and I met Keyshawn Johnson several months back. I don't know if he remembers me, Key, but I admire you guys. I think the three of you do a great job on the show.
Thank you.
And I just want to say one thing. Max, I think Brady should put you on his payroll because the second half of his career, you put him in a Hall of Fame.
Please don't tell this dude that.
I am Brady's motivation.
I want to compliment all you guys. Key, I will tell you something. I watched you for the Jets, and I watched the quarterbacks you played with. If you had played with Brady, Patrick Mahomes, or Rodgers, one of those guys, you'd have been in the Hall of Fame, first ballot.
He wouldn't have to deal with JME every morning, that's for sure.
No, that's true. But the other thing is, I saw your arms out where that quarterback laid you out over the middle, and you took hits nobody could take and got up and hung on to the ball. And
thanks,
Jay,
a lot, Gary.
I want to tell you, I saw you at Duke.
Okay.
I saw you in the NBA. You were a smooth shooting guard. That's what I was 50 years ago in a small college. I went through on a scholarship. But I'll tell you something right now. Jay, you take the soft approach on things. Key, you're honest. Like several months back when you were talking about the NFL Combine, with the wallet, what do you do with you find wallet in the money? He says, well, Key came right out and says, wait, David, that's a trick question. You know what they're going to do. I mean, you're honest, Key. I love you guys. Now, I'm going to ask you two questions.
You know what, Gary? All those compliments used up the time. Gary used up all his time complimenting us. It's a good use of time, and yet the time is up now because we have things we got to do.
He called me soft. Hold on. Wait, what happened?
That was a big compliment he gave me.
No. He was just talking about on taking the money.
Oh.
That's all. He was talking about only y'all taking the money because the combine, the wallet question. Would you take the wallet, take the money out,
Jay,
put the wallet back, walk over it, give
guard,
it back, that
got.
Sort of thing?
No, I took the money. But Key, my answer,
no,
guys,
right.
You say you took the money. My answer to that was like, there was no money in it in the first place.
Oh.
That was my answer.
No, the main thing
other
is
words,
all he said about Jay
in
was
other words,
smooth shooting guard.
There was no money in there in the first place.
He went at it on about Key, gave me a big compliment. Then he about Jay, just goes, smooth shooting guard, you're soft. What is that?
Oh, he wasn't saying that.
No,
we're talking about taking the money, Max.
How did you spend your first weekend without football? That's what we want to know. Because someone on the show had an interesting Sunday. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. ESPN 2 till 8 a.m. And ESPN, you were on till 10 a.m. Eastern. Another hour 43 on ESPN. You were presented by Progressive Insurance. So how'd you spend your first weekend without football? Been a rip. Football has been headlines for everything, and yet this morning we're all over the NBA because of the Kyrie trade. Well, someone on the show had an interesting Sunday. Who was it who had an interesting Sunday on this show?
Not me. It was a travel day.
Have you traveling Sunday? Back?
Traveling back from Louisville, yeah.
Called the Louisville game. Yeah, that was good. I mean, it was. I don't think I had an interesting day. Did I have an interesting day, you think?
Are you buying a NASCAR team?
No, I guess if we
all
I guess
my social media, it's key with all these NASCAR drivers.
Sheesh.
Are you trying to get
it was interesting? Yeah,
spin?
I did. I went to NASCAR in L.A. yesterday, L.A. Memorial Coliseum.
What made
NASCAR?
What made you do that?
Well, I wanted it was experience. I wanted to take my kids, my family, and go and just check it out, be a part of it. It's in L.A. It was an amazing thing. And was so interesting. I've been to NASCAR down in Charlotte when I played for the Panthers, but this was in Los Angeles. The track was a lot smaller, and the crowd was a little bit different than your typical NASCAR crowd.
Is that a crowd? I'm looking at the video. I don't know if that's the beginning.
Yeah. No, that's the beginning. Okay. That's the beginning stages of it. Now, as this is like pre-race qualified, that whole deal, and then later on, and Wiz Khalifa performed at halftime, Cypress Hill performed. It was pretty cool, man.
Halftime.
I mean, not halftime. It was 150 laps, and the midway point is 75. But basically, it's a halftime, and they had a halftime. And Wiz Khalifa performed at NASCAR at the L.A. Coliseum, and Cypress Hill, who's from L.A., they performed. So it was pretty cool. It was a very interesting, diverse crowd. It was shocking to me to see the diversity in the crowd. I did not expect to see as many blacks in the crowd. I did not expect to see as many Latinas in the crowd. But then I had to think at the same time, I am in L.A. And it was pretty cool.
When you said diversity, I thought you meant tall white guys, medium-height white guys, short white guys with blonde hair, with brown hair. But you mean actual diversity.
Yeah, it was actually diverse. It was pretty amazing to see.
Who's taking a picture with? Who's this on our screen?
See, don't do this to me.
I'm just asking. You said there's a lot of diversity, but yet the pictures I see you post.
But
like,
don't do this to me, though. Don't do this to
I'm
me.
I'm just asking
you asking me. Now you're going to ask me a name, and I might just tell you that's Bubba James or something. I don't know.
Hey, quick. Speaking of names, this got us thinking back here, Key. We're going to quiz you real quick. We're going to ask you NASCAR driver or NBA player.
Oh, this is great.
See if you know who it is.
Oh, this is so good.
So, here y'all go.
Okay, we're going to start with Tyler Reddick. NASCAR driver or NBA player?
NASCAR driver.
That is correct. That's a NASCAR driver.
Okay, Key.
Josh Wise. NASCAR driver or NBA player?
NASCAR driver.
That is a NASCAR driver.
I don't need you, Jay.
I'm not doing anything. Just having my coffee.
Mark Williams, NASCAR driver, NBA player.
NASCAR driver.
Nah, it's an NBA player.
Okay.
I'll bet you there's a Mark Williams driving a car somewhere in NASCAR.
Look at me, Key. Focus.
Kyle Anderson, NASCAR driver or NBA player.
That sounds like a NASCAR to me.
That is a NASCAR driver. That's a NASCAR driver.
Kyle Anderson's an NBA player, too, by the way, FYI.
But you're going deep on the roster at this point, though, Jay. Come on, man. G League, two-way guy.
Well, be better, Pat.
I was talking about the NASCAR one, so.
Trick question, Key. I ain't going to let them set you up.
I was talking about the NASCAR one. Do they spell it the same way?
Great question. Greg Brown, NASCAR driver or NBA player?
NBA player.
That is an NBA player. How about Dean Wade?
I think that's NASCAR.
That's an NBA player.
You said D Wade or Dean Wade?
Dean Wade.
From Marquette.
Yeah.
He cold, too. He all right. He cold. Let's call him that one cold. Yeah.
All right. A couple more quick ones. Ty Dillon.
Oh, that's hoops.
NASCAR.
That's NASCAR.
That's a NASCAR driver.
Where did I get Gillen from? Where I know that
maybe
from?
It was the Ty part. You just jumped on Ty Lue.
Because it's Ty.
Gillen Rose. Oh, it was Ty. He ain't calling nobody NASCAR. Ty Jerome.
You see how fast Ty, man.
Ty, Tay-Tay.
Can you hear Ty in NASCAR or NBA, rather? Deuce McBride.
Who?
Deuce McBride, man, that's NASCAR.
That's an NBA player.
Plays for the Knicks.
Plays for the Knicks, man.
I don't watch the Knicks.
Look at me.
All right.
I did that for Max. I don't watch the Knicks.
Yeah, I'm with you, Keith.
Last one, Jacques Villanueva.
That's hoops.
That's a NASCAR driver.
The Villanueva threw you off.
I definitely pronounced
that. Villanueva threw me off for sure.
Yeah, Villanueva, you hear that.
Unless you hear Villanueva, you're like, nah, that's not NASCAR.
No, but of course, that threw me off.
That's not NASCAR. It's too Latin.
It was fun, though, and it was loud. Oh, my God, my ears are still hurting.
How many kids you take with you, Key? You take the whole family? Or you
No, my son had football at SoFi, and I just took my daughter, the wife, and my young daughter.
Now, be honest, they like it.
Had a blast. My daughter, London, who's 13, that some TikTok young lady with like 17,000,000 followers performed and sat in our box and took a, you know, it was like a whole deal. It was unbelievable to see. But yeah, I would certainly go again for sure.
How about you, Jay? Have a good weekend?
Yeah, I got pretty much did a Louisville game, watched Louisville lose down the end. You know, their fans want to fire Kenny Payne after 1 year and kind of stood up for what was right there, him again another year. And, yeah, it was a good game. Watched Florida State win and then spent the whole day traveling back. And then only to get on our call.
Nice. Yeah. I watched a lot of boxing this weekend and unpacked boxes and threw out my back. Watch boxing, unpacked boxes because I've moved.
So you didn't hire one of those companies to unpack the stuff for you?
No, but here's the thing, Key. I need to know where everything is. I got to know. And that was a big mistake. Big mistake.
I thought you would have done that, and they would have put, you know, you stand there and point and tell them where to put it at.
Key, if you could see Max sitting in his chair right now, he looks like a 95-year-old old man.
He
moves his feet. He goes, ah! I'm like, man, is this?
Well, I don't need to see him sitting in the chair. I can look at him and tell he's 95 looking.
Poofed out like this.
I know. The discs are bulging. They're not herniated at the moment, but I got to be very careful.
You
right
talk
now.
About being professionally available. You got the eye issue, you got the back issue.
But I show up.
Professionally available.
But I show up.
We should bash Max for missing time.
I'd rather him miss time than be hurt at work. It's making his production go down.
No, the production, that's incredible. That's why I get special consideration. I play hurt. One eye, back messed up. I was sick last week. Show up.
Oh, God. Yeah, you were sick last week. That's why I stayed my ass in Bristol.
You were smart. The Lakers did not end up with Kyrie.
What? So wait, am I like Kyrie, Keys, KD, and you're Ben Simmons with the back issue?
Ben Simmons? If LeBron James met Michael Jordan and they somehow could combine
here we
all
go.
The best
I don't
with
show up
Kareem,
to work. That's, I'm
I'd be
all
twice
coming
as
together,
good as that. All right, the Lakers did not end up with Kyrie. What is next for them? Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast. Mahomes trying to buy some time on that bad ankle. Moving to his right. He is now scrambling, and he's going to get a first down. And now gets hit late! He gets hit late!
I didn't expect to be able to run very much, just from the way it felt. But the training staff, Julie, did a great job.
Butker's kick is up. The spinning kick high, floating in the air. Good! This game is over! You can't doubt the Chiefs! You can dislike and disrespect the Chiefs! You're going to have to deal with the Chiefs!
Man, Keyshawn, Jay Will and Max. Chris Canty, former Giants defensive end Super Bowl champion.
Hello. Hello.
What's up, Chris?
What's up, Key? How you doing, man?
Man, I'm good, son. I'm just coming back off my NASCAR tour, you know?
I don't know what all of that's about. Key.
I ain't setting you up.
As a Lakers fan, man, a small part of me died this weekend. Because part of me held out hope that Kyrie Irving could be a possibility.
He's good. It originally died, but then I was brought back once I realized, hey, he could come back to us next offseason in June, July, whenever it is that free agency starts.
And you don't have to give up anything except the cash.
Yeah.
Yeah. But at that point, Anthony Davis will probably go into the season hurt. So I don't know, man. It's just
You know what, Chris? Think about it, though. Mm. They're not going to, even if they had Kyrie, there's two. But next year, they get their ducks in a row. They added a nice piece in Hachimura. They clear the decks. They bring in Kyrie.
Yeah.
You might mess around and chip up if you're the Lakers.
Yeah, I forgot about Hachimura. And then AD. Yeah. He's going to be healthy coming into the season.
Might have worked
LeBron
out better.
LeBron is there.
Yeah, but for how long? That's the biggest thing.
He's cool right now.
Come on,
he's
man.
Cool.
All right,
he's
okay.
Good.
Meantime, we got a big game coming up this week, and I don't know if you heard about it, guys. So the Chiefs, we were talking about this earlier in the show, Chris. The Chiefs, like, it's funny, these big, huge leverage games. You think Super Bowl, no kidding. But it shapes the whole history of the league and the way you think about it. It, like, if Burrow beats Mahomes at Arrowhead and then goes to this, oh, my God, this dude lives in the Super Bowl. But now it's like, wait a minute, Joe Burrow ever going to win a Super Bowl, right? Patrick Mahomes, if he gets that next Super Bowl, 2 in 5 years plus everything. But if he doesn't, it's like, well, he won that one Super Bowl. He was lucky to get MVP. He hasn't been able to get over the hump. How confident are you in the Chiefs' chances right now against a stacked Philadelphia team?
Well, they have the best player in all of football in Pat Mahomes. And you said it, Max. This is going to be his third Super Bowl since he's become a starter in Kansas City in 2018. And the guy is on the verge of winning his second MVP during that span. So you're talking about 4 years, 3 Super Bowl appearances, and 2 MVPs. It's arguably the greatest start to a career for a quarterback.
There's no argument. It is the greatest.
So what are we talking about? So there's
one
no
pre-snap penalty away from 4 Super Bowls.
So even if they don't finish the drill, even if he doesn't win a championship this year, in terms of his career trajectory, Pat Mahomes is going to be an all-time great and in the conversation for the greatest to have ever done it, period.
Well, according to some, he's already in the top 2 to ever do it, but we're not going to revisit that from a week ago. Because that turned out to be a disaster.
You sound salty about it, Key. You sound a little bit salty about it.
No, I'm saying that turned into a disaster, so to speak, for Dan Orlowski.
He just left Montana off the list. Come on.
Yeah, we're gonna leave that alone.
Yeah, I don't know.
He had him at number 2, though, which is ridiculous. But let me ask you this, though, Canty.
What up?
Are we 100% sure that Patrick Mahomes is going to win this year's MVP? Are we 100% sure?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm 100% sure. Yeah, I'll put the church's money on that, Key.
No, I'm just asking.
My 401k.
Pension.
Pension, my retirement. Yeah, I'll put it all
on
Pat
Mahomes. Because Jalen Hurts
If you want to go the other way, I'll certainly take some of that Keyshawn Johnson money.
I was just saying that Jalen Hurts was scratching at it, and you just don't know how these voters vote. And then I was going to say that, how about if he won it and won the Super Bowl against Patrick Mahomes, he essentially has now got MVP and a Super Bowl, and he can start this NFC Championship run of having games at home, since we want to change the way the outlook of this year's football season is gone. Because if you think about it, much like Max is saying, it was set up for Joe Burrow, this, that, and the other. Then it's set up for Patrick Mahomes, and now it could be set up for Jalen Hurts to kind of start that conversation about who's the best, if that is the case. But you seem to think that he is going to win the MVP. So that becomes a moot point for me as far as, you know, listening to you and what you got to say.
Well, I don't think it's a moot point, though, Key, because here's the deal. If Jalen Hurts doesn't get hurt in Week 15 against the Chicago Bears, we're talking about Jalen Hurts winning an MVP. And I think that changes the perception of the caliber of quarterback he is. But he also has another opportunity to do that going head-to-head against Pat Mahomes in the Super Bowl. And if he comes out on the winning side of this game, which according to Vegas right now he's favored to do so, then all of a sudden Jalen Hurts is in the conversation for one of the top three quarterbacks in the National Football League. And you're talking about him being potentially the highest paid player in NFL history this offseason. So I think there's a lot to be gained for Jalen Hurts over the course of this next week in the big game.
And when you look at the X's O's of the game, though, right, I'm looking at the secondary of Kansas City and I'm looking at Spagnuolo and what he's been able to do so far in the postseason. They get a little stronger all the time in the postseason, but they haven't faced a juggernaut of receivers, much like Philadelphia is going to put out there in the universe. What can they do at this young group to negate the passing capabilities of Philadelphia?
Well, I think they do a good job of mixing and matching the coverages. But the one thing that I would say I'm concerned with that Chiefs defense is their ability to stop the QB run game. And it's not the quarterback zone read as much as it is the quarterback scrambles, because Steve Spagnuolo loves the disguise, but he loves to play a ton of man coverage. They play the sixth most man coverage of any team in the National Football League, Key. And you know, when you get those defenders running in coverage with their backs turned, that opens the door for the quarterback to get out of the gate and get some huge chunk plays with his legs. Jalen Hurts on the season, playoffs included, second most first downs rushing of any player in the National Football League behind Josh Jacobs, who led the league in rushing, and right in front of Christian McCaffrey and Nick Chubb. I don't know if you heard of those guys. They're pretty good running backs. So, I mean, that has to be the biggest concern for the Chiefs defense. They've given up the fifth most rushing yards to opposing quarterbacks. So that's the thing I'm interested to see how Spags approaches, how he tries to slow down Jalen Hurts impacting the game with his legs.
And if they go nickel and you take a linebacker off the field and you want to spy him with a smaller guy, now all they got to do is just run the football. Leave the bigger guy in, or you go dime and you take two linebackers out and put two smaller guys in and one of them the spy, we just going to run the football. And then, like I said before, and if you leave the linebackers in, now you really at a disadvantage because we can do multiple things in these situations. Who are you giving the advantage to in this game? No, the coaches. Are you giving Nick Sirianni on that side of the ball the advantage, or are you giving Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy the advantage?
I think they're pretty evenly matched. I mean, it's not as if we haven't seen coaches that are less experienced have moments where they out-coach more veteran, more seasoned guys in the Super Bowl. We saw it in, what was that, Super Bowl 52 with Doug Peterson and Bill Belichick, right? I mean, Philly special in that moment, two-point play, and you're talking about Doug Peterson dialing something up that Bill Belichick's defense wasn't prepared for. And Nick Foles goes on to throw for over 400 yards in that game. So, yeah, I think we can look at the coaching situation as a wash, even though Andy Reid has accomplished much more in this league.
Right, in terms of the actual game and how that affects the strategy and the outcome of that game. Chris, I still say, yes, Mahomes all-time great in the conversation, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But these details really matter on the level of a Super Bowl. The difference between Mahomes winning and losing the Super Bowl is like his trajectory is taking him past NFL comparisons. You have to start to think about, man, if he doubles something like he's just done, he's starting to transcend it. He's starting to be compared to Jordan and Babe Ruth, or like other athletes from other sports, because there's no comparison in the NFL. He loses the Super Bowl. Now he's being compared to Aaron Rodgers and these kind
of... No, don't compare him to Aaron Rodgers. He's been in the Super Bowl three times. Rodgers been once. So there's no comparison there. I want to ask you this, though, Max. I do want to ask you, because I think you bring up an interesting point.
Yeah.
When we start talking about Jordan, you start talking about the greatest, like Wayne Gretzky, the greatest of all time in a respective sport. When we looked at those guys, it was so stark, or so much of a gap between them and the second best player in the sport.
Yes.
Are we there already with Pat
That's
Mahomes?
What I'm
it
saying,
feels
Chris.
Like that. Hey, listen. Joe Burrow was the one that we were saying, okay, he's close. And then Pat Mahomes just beat the guy on one leg. So if it's not Joe Burrow, like, how close is the second best player in the NFL, to Pat Mahomes?
This is what I'm saying about Mahomes. When you say Jordan, it's just not, Tom Brady's a Michael Jordan football. No, he's not. Because Michael Jordan means you look at him and your eyeballs say, that's the best I've ever seen. Then you look down at the numbers, you go, that backs it up.
Yeah.
Then you look at team success and you go, that backs it up.
Just like Wayne Gretzky, too, in hockey.
Yes, although Gretzky didn't win without Messier. Messier won without Gretzky.
Yeah.
Jordan, but see, that's why I brought up the Jalen Hurts stuff, because I understand Pat's been doing a little longer, but here's a guy that has gone his first time as a full-time starter to the playoffs. His second time, he gets the bye, wins the division. His team is in the Super Bowl. He was, in, prior to getting injured, like you said, Canty, he was at the top of the MVP conversation. Mm-hmm. He essentially, if he wins the Super Bowl, now is going to be a, you know, $500 million, $400 million guaranteed quarterback, whatever you want to call it, and a loaded stacked team that ain't going nowhere no time soon.
Yep. He's up there, but he ain't pushing Mahomes.
Yeah, you're not going to start a team with Jalen Hurts over Pat Mahomes.
I get what you're saying in the room. When you're looking at their film in college, I get what you're looking at. You're saying all this and this, and then you're looking at it so far, early signs say no. But his style is a little different. Everybody wins different
but
with different styles.
That's why this game
that's
is
all
so,
I'm saying.
That's what I mean about this game being so high leverage. Hurts should win. His team is better. Mahomes underdog for a reason.
Yeah.
If Hurts wins the Super Bowl now, he's in the – but if Mahomes – as an underdog, takes care of Hurts after getting the monkey off his back with Joe Burrow, after beating Josh Allen, after one pre-snap penalty for which they did not change the rules against Tom Brady, keeps him out of four Super Bowls in 5 years with two wins, it's a wrap. He is by so much the greatest player who ever lived through the first 5 years as a starter. There's no conversation anymore. This is Chris Canty. You can hear much more of Chris Canty on Canty and Carlin from 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern. You don't want to miss it on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Woj reporting the Brooklyn Nets are trading Kyrie Irving to the Dallas Mavericks.
They still hope they can win, but the reality is you can't replace Kyrie Irving.
The Mavs have put themselves in a position to be the front runner in the Western Conference.
The drama has become too overwhelming.
He's your headache now.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. He's your headache now, screams the New York Daily News. Nets deal Kyrie to Mavs for... Oh, who cares? He's finally gone. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, joined by Nick Friedel, ESPN NBA reporter. Nick, good morning.
Good morning.
Don't you be a Kyrie Irving apologist.
That's
what the internet says. God forbid you actually have insight to how this whole thing has played out on both sides.
Stay off the internet, Jay.
Stay off the weed.
What is your initial reaction to the Kyrie news, Nick?
What do you mean? He broke the news.
Max,
but he had to learn it. He had to learn it at some point before he broke it.
I think the prevailing theme is that within the organization, it's just time. When that request finally came down on Friday, it is rare, as we all know, for it to go from Friday, after all the things that have happened the last few years, Friday, here comes the request, Sunday, it's done. There are two reasons why, though. One, everybody is just up and down that organization, for as much as they respected what Kyrie could do on the floor, there is a relief that they don't have to deal with all the drama now moving forward. But two, and this is crucial, they feel like they have given themselves some time prior to the deadline to make some more moves potentially and see if they can look at KD and say, hey, we want you to stay. We like what we're building here with you at the forefront of everything. So there,
what is it
there
building,
are a lot of
layers. What are they building? Well, how can they sell what they're building?
See, this is Jay and I have been going back and forth on this already all morning. The issue is they've got Ben Simmons' contract. And as part of this whole conversation with KD and Kyrie, Simmons factors into it in a major, major way because I don't know who in the hell is taking that deal off of their hands and they're turning that deal plus potentially Joe Harris or Seth Curry or all these picks that they have into another piece that is going to make Kevin Durant say, yep, this is the place where I want to be, and this is where I can win a championship.
Jay, can I ask Nick a question if you don't mind, Jay?
Go ahead, bro.
Really quick on something you told me in earlier on the show. Why did the Nets try and give a bamboozle deal on a 3-year $140 million with the last year not fully guaranteed based on some championship win in year one and two? Why would they even do that when you know good and damn well that that's not going to get anything done? Why would they do that?
Key, the answer here is the trust had been broken long before that deal even came into the conversation. I'm sure in their mind they felt, all right, well, we'll throw this out there and then we can say, he just didn't want to accept this deal. It didn't happen. But the reality is all of the different things that have happened the last few years built up to this moment. So in so many different ways, this part of it was inevitable. It's just that the surprise is in the timing because Kyrie had said repeatedly, even in the last few weeks without Kevin, I believe in what we're putting together. I believe in the family that we have. I trust in my teammates. When Kevin comes back, I believe that we are going to be very close to a championship. And so now, a few days before the deadline, it all changes. But as far as that whole conversation goes, I just feel like the Nets wanted to say, you know, we put something out there. We knew it wasn't going to happen. Just like last summer, they put something out there. They knew it wasn't going to happen, and here we are.
So I have a question, and this is for you, Jay, and you, Nick. You look at James Harden is doing the thing now for the Sixers that he was doing for the Nets when KD got hurt and Kyrie said, here, you're the point guard, and they were destroying the Western Conference on a road trip. I remember this road trip last year because that's how little they played together. But, like, that was, oh, my God, it's the best basketball I've ever seen Harden play. And then Kyrie recently played the best basketball I've ever seen him play, and KD is back to his peak self. So when he's healthy, Jay, who does this – like the fact that Harden's balling the way he is and Ben Simmons is in the shape he is, the fact that Kyrie's gone now, who does this reflect upon? Is it KD? Is it Josiah? Is it Kyrie? What happened?
What do you mean?
Who is responsible for the fact that this couldn't work when each individual talent – KD, Harden, and Kyrie is still performing at sky-high levels.
So this is where I go back to my overall thing, Nick, right? You know, we look at – people think that the job of a general manager is just to make the numbers work. No, the job of the general manager is to make the numbers work and to make the personalities mesh and hold people accountable. I go back to Sean Marks here when it's all said and done. Like, and it's tough for Sean. I get it. But, like, you had KD, Kyrie, and James Harden on the same team. And now you're pivoting off that with Kevin Durant looking at his bench saying, now I'm with Spencer Dinwiddie and Ben Simmons is not playing, and now you have to make all these moves. I hear you're going to be all in. But to me, like, this falls on the shoulders of Sean Marks.
We have like 15 seconds, Nick. What's your final word?
I agree with Jay, and it's why I think moving forward, I would be very surprised if we're not sitting right back here this summer going through all the same stuff we did last summer about Kevin Durant and his future growth.
Great stuff. Thank you, Nick. What's next for the Nets? 888-SAY-ESPN. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.